Our pericope of Scripture this evening comes from the book of Psalms, in particular Psalm 31. We'll read the entire psalm, but our text is going to only be the first part of verse 15. But if you keep your Bibles open, we'll be referring to other verses, of course, in the context. So Psalm 31, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense, to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I'm forgotten. As a dead man out of mind, I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. In our text, verse 15, My times are in thy hand. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as is very obvious from this psalm, David was in trouble. David was fleeing from King Saul, and it was such a fearsome thing that even his acquaintances would not acknowledge him. They were afraid of their own lives then. He felt at times all alone, and even he said in his haste, verse 22, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. There are troubles, there are trials, there are difficulties in all of our lives. And then may the confession of David here in this psalm be our confession. My times are in thy hand. God often speaks to us in the circumstances of our lives, teaching us lessons, sometimes very loudly. For example, perhaps after we have engaged in a grievous sin, or perhaps a loved one is in terrible illness, or we have suffered financial difficulty, or we have stood by the graveside of a loved one. God teaches us through those circumstances, but God also teaches us through His Word, and He interprets those circumstances to us for our lives. Difficult things happen to you and to me, and we might ask, why? How? What does this mean? David, caught in his grievous sin, it's God through His Word, through the prophet Nathan, says, thou art the man. You have committed these sins. At the end of the year, perhaps we look back in our lives and we see our sins as we did this past week, and we confess those sins, and then we also confess God's continued faithfulness and mercy to us. Or as we look ahead into the future, perhaps we're afraid at times, but we look forward with trust and absolute dependence and confidence. We look at what the Word of God has to say so that we may learn from these various circumstances that take place in our lives. So, my theme, as I join as your pastor here, our confession concerning our lives. Our confession concerning our lives, our times are in thy hand. First of all, it is a confession about time. Second of all, it's a confession about the Lord's hand. And then thirdly, we're going to, in application, look at the comfort and the hope that there is in this. My times are in thy hand. Time. Time brings different changes and trials and difficulties. There's transitions in our lives, aren't they? There's a transition for my wife and I from living in Hudsonville, being part of the Byron Church, looking forward to retirement, and suddenly we're looking at a new place and a new congregation. And then we have to say, not my plans, but God's plans. And so we need to immediately say this about our times. They're not in our control. It's not our plans, but it's God's plans and His providence. We don't control the time of our lives. Psalm 70 says, if by reason of strength we are 70 or even 80 years old, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for soon it is cut off and we fly away. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Time marches on. That it seems at times like it controls us, but it doesn't. Years fly by, And perhaps we would like to be in control of time. Just like I might control the music that is coming from my CD player. At times, I might like to push the reverse button on that thing. And maybe we'd like to push the reverse button on time. My dear mother, I remember her many times saying, if only I could go back in time and do it differently. Or perhaps we like to push the pause button. Pause button on our children while they are still young and cute and pliable and they adore us before they get to those teenage or young adult age when they can be rebellious as they're asserting their own independence. They say, little kids, little problems, big kids, bigger problems. Or perhaps we like to push the fast forward button on time. As I was in high school thinking it's another 4 years of college and 4 years of seminary, I sure would like to push the fast forward button. Or as I stand out in the snow and the cold outside, I would love to push the fast forward to the warmth and the sun of summer. But I and you can't do that. We don't control time, do we? The psalm teaches us exactly what we know by experience. Our times are not in our own control. But neither is time in control of us. It might seem that way in the one stanza that we sang in our first song, where we sang, time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all of its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream that dies at the opening day. Seems like time is in control? No. Nope, time is not simply there as a vicious cycle repeating itself over and over, birth, infant, youth, middle age, old age, death. One nation rises, another nation falls. Time is not in control. Time is not a matter of fate or chance, so that we try to be stoics and keep the stiff upper lip, or Epicureans who say, let's eat and drink today, for we live now and today, tomorrow we don't know. What is our confession about time then? We're not in control of it. It is not in control of us. Our confession is that time is a creature. There is a beginning of time, and there will be an end to time. Time was created by God. It's the very first thing that He created. We read in our Bibles, in the beginning, God. God created time. The clock started there. And as a creature, time is therefore a servant of God, created to carry out God's eternal purposes and plans. And as time began, so time will also come to an end one day. Now every day begins with the sun rising and ends with sunset. One day there will be no more night. So have you thought about time, your times, as a creature, maybe as one of the greatest creatures that there is? You cannot stop it, you can't rewind it, you can't fast forward it. It is God's creature given to us to serve God in our lives. Oh, time is also given to the wicked. Time is given to the wicked to grow in their wickedness and to fill up their cup of iniquity, preparing them for destruction. But time is given to God's children, whereby God shapes us, where God guides us, where God directs us, where God preserves us, where God prepares us for our eternal home. What a creature, time. new opportunities given each day, each month, each year. So as the songwriter says, day by day, with every passing moment, time is God's creature, a servant of God, and a wonderful opportunity for us to grow in grace, to draw closer to our Savior, and to serve Him with all of our time and talents. Many don't want to hear that. They like to ignore the difficulties in our lives. But there is coming an accounting for this creature that is given to us. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we will all give an account of whatever we have done, whether good or evil. So first of all, then, time is a creature. Notice, second of all, under our confession about time, that time is spoken of in this verse in the plural. Did you see that? He says, my times are in thy hand. Times points to circumstances and seasons of change. David is talking about the variety of times in his own life. Do you see him, boys and girls, as that young shepherd boy taking care of daddy's sheep out in the hills of Bethlehem? And then one day he's hauled home and the prophet Samuel puts some oil over his head and anoints him as king of God's people. King of God's people, but it takes a long time. First he becomes a soldier in Saul's army. Then he finds himself fleeing for his life because King Saul is seeking to kill him. Finally he is made king of Judah, and 7 years later he's made king over the other 10 tribes. My times, David is saying, yes, those good years when my heart was very near to the Lord and I was singing his praises, but also those bad years when I'm fleeing for my life or when I'm walking in willful sin. Pride. A loss of a son. As David talks in the plural about his times, so you and I, beloved, also can speak in the plural. A variety of experiences that the Lord leads us through. Moods, actions, upheavals, trials, difficulties, troubles in our lives. Our times are in thy hand. In the plural, then, our times as citizens of this nation. There are times in this nation when we were that powerful nation that was out there fighting wars in order that there could be democracy or freedom in other countries. Now, the last past 4 years, it was more of a time of isolation where our president said, we better take care of ourselves now once first. And now with a new president, a great reversal. Now again, we're going to be involved in climate change, supposedly, and abortion and lifestyles and involvement with the other nations. As a nation, we've gone through the whole COVID pandemic. Yesterday was exactly 1 year since the first death of COVID. We can speak of our times in the plural, not only as citizens of a particular nation here in the world, but also in the Church of Jesus Christ. We study church history, don't we? There were great growths given to the church. There were periods of terrible controversy and stagnation in that history. There's changes. There were times of peace and tranquility in the church. And then there's also, more recently now, terrible apostasy and trouble in the church. There's changes. Just because of COVID, there were changes in the past year in the way that we would worship. maybe for a little while not at all here in the sanctuary, then now able one row in between, sometimes with masks, sometimes without masks. There's changes. The past year hasn't been easy. And as there is a variety then of times as citizens of a nation, a variety in the times as members of the church, so there is a variety of times in our individual lives, aren't they? Seasons of change. When we're little children with no cares in the world. When we become young adults and we're wondering about whether we're going to continue in our education, we're continuing what kind of job we want to go into, and we're continuing to think of who is going to be our life mate. And there is our life as singles or as married persons. There are the middle-aged years where we're rather comfortable. And finally, there are the senior years when we start to feel our infirmities. There are times, varieties, when our businesses were thriving, or perhaps also in this past year when our business was even shut down, or we were unemployed, laid off, or we were under stay-home orders. Or we think in the past year and continuing in this year of some of our dear saints isolated, unable to get out of their homes or convalescent homes to see spouse or children or grandchildren or friends, or others dealing with a lifelong sickness or perhaps a bout of cancer. What a variety of circumstances. That, beloved, is the character of our earthly experiences as saints as we pass through those changes in our lives. Things are not always the same. They're not always steady. They're not always easy to predict. As saints in the past years, as we interacted with one another, rejoicing with those at the birth of a child, crying with others at the graveside of a loved one, witnessing parents who are claiming the covenant promises when baptizing their children, seeing and rejoicing at couples joined in marriage, agonized together over rebellious sons or daughters or perhaps a spouse. How well the preacher puts it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 7 or 8 verses. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. My times, what a variety of them there are in our life. And we learn how finite we are, how mutable we are, how subject we are to the changes that time brings. There is nothing fixed. Everything changes, it seems. So time is a creation. Time is plural. There's a variety in our life, good and bad. And notice thirdly, in our text, that the psalmist is very personal, isn't he? He writes there, "My times are in thy hand." He looks at his own life, his own personal experiences, the changes that took place in his life, and you can't escape them. Not all are pleasant. Verse 9, he writes, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." You boys and girls say, what's the belly got to do with it? Because the belly is the seat of our emotions. When we're in trouble or when we're afraid, we feel it there. David was fleeing for his life, and that has happened several times in his life, wasn't it? Under King Saul, later on with his son Absalom. Friends had forsaken him. He writes in verse 12, "I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." No, David does not ignore the troubles in his life. He knows those troubles are in his life because of sin. And because of sin, there are trials and difficulties in this life. And so when he writes, "My times," he's admitting to the variety in the life, different circumstances. And so as we face those trials, those changes in our life, those difficulties, perhaps you and I ask as we agonize, how can I face this? What can I do? For beloved, there's going to continue as there were in the past, be trials and difficulties. We are finite and very weak and troubled. We cannot stop it. My times, good and bad, easy and difficult, happy and very grievous, brief or maybe dragged out, healthy or maybe sick, prosperous or hurting financially. Our confession regarding time, there is this great variety, again from Psalm 90, verse 9. "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." What can we say about these troubles? Beloved, they're good. They really are. Not easy to go through, but they're good. Lest we become too comfortable with life here below. We learn through all our troubles, we're just pilgrims and strangers here, and we're looking away and we're looking ahead for that day when Jesus comes, and there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more trouble or trials, no more sickness or death. What a confession about our time. But now notice with that confession, very important, "My times are in thy hand." The psalmist says some wonderful things here about God. You'll notice in verse 2, he says, "Bow down thine ear to me." He says in verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." Verse 16, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant." An ear, a hand, a face. Those are what we call anthropomorphisms. That big word, boys and girls, anthropomorphisms, simply means that God describes himself and his work in ways that we can understand, in human language. He uses human analogies so that we can better visualize and understand our great God. It's figurative language, isn't it? For God is a spirit. Therefore, he doesn't have ears. He doesn't have a face. He doesn't have hands. But now that word hand is used to help us how God is sovereign over everything in our life. What a powerful, what a beautiful confession this is. Three words: God in control. God in control. Boys and girls, look at your hand. Look at your hand. With your hand, you can hold things. With your hand, you can cling to something. With your hand, you can point out the directions. With your hand, you can stop things. The hand, what a beautiful creation. And God gave us hands not only so that we can do many things, but especially so that we can understand Him. To understand our God, His hand and His work. God, who has designed our hands with their importance to us, with their power, their purpose, to see something about our God. What do we see about our God? His strength. We see His power. We see His control. We see His direction in our lives. We see His love. We see His power to hold time, to move time, to control time. As the young people learned in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, we call that God's providence. God's providence, where in time He carries out His eternal plan and purposes. And our hands then are just a faint picture of God's powerful, sovereign hand in our lives. You and I said earlier, do not control our times. God is able to control and hold time in His hand. Boys and girls, you know that from your Bible history, don't you? When Joshua and his armies were fighting their enemies, God stopped the sun. The day continued extra hours so they could pursue those enemies. Or you boys and girls just learned this past week about King Hezekiah. How God told him to get his house in order, for he is going to die. And he prays for more time because he has no son yet to sit on the throne. And how then he is given 15 more years. And as a sign of that, we read that the shadow of the sundial moved backwards 10 degrees. God controls and determines time. Time is not eternal. Time is a servant of God. God doesn't measure time, but God controls time. As the psalmist again says in Psalm 90, verse 4, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." My times are in thy hand. It's a confession. God is sovereign. God rules over time. Time is His servant. There's a purpose to time. Not only has God created it, but has a purpose so that the things that He has planned, has determined in eternity, are now carried out. The wicked filling up their cup of iniquity for destruction, God's people being shaped, being kept, being led to the glory that He has in mind for each of them. So as Christians, we can look back at the past, now in the present, and we can look forward in the future. God in control. God created, God now directs, God has a purpose and a goal. That, beloved, is comforting. 6,000 years have now gone past. Nothing by chance. Whether it was Spain in power, whether it was Britain in power, whether it was for a little while United States or Russia in power, or now China, God's kingdom is going to triumph. So nations come and go, We are a citizen of a particular nation. We see these things happening, but we don't grow frightened. God is in control. The last day that I was able to drive my granddaughter, it was the very day that the moving truck came. She came out of the house, she says, "I'm sad." So we sang. We sang all the way to school. And one of the songs we sang is, "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world." And isn't that true also then with the church? Whether we see the church strong in faith or there are those times of difficulties and sin and apostasy. And now the trouble in our own denomination. Christ is in control. Christ is ruling and guiding. And so again, in that words of that Negro spiritual, we can sing, "He's got his whole church in his hands. He's got his whole universal church." And in our personal lives, Job, with all of his afflictions, Job couldn't see, as you and I do in the opening chapters of Job, what was actually taking place. Job didn't know why all these trials and difficulties were given to him. We do know. It was a contest, wasn't it? Satan comes there up there in heaven, and God says, "Have you seen my righteous servant, Job?" And God, Satan says, "Well, yeah, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he be good? You give him everything he could ever want. Take it away." Okay. But God is sovereign. "Satan, you may go so far and no further." Satan, with all of, Job, with all of his afflictions, what does he say? He's not in the devil's hands, but he says, "I know my Redeemer lives. And I will see him." Satan couldn't do anything without God's providence or permission. Even David in his sin was in God's control. No, God wasn't the author of that sin. But we know that when David numbered the people in his pride, yes, he was tempted by Satan and his sinful flesh, but we also read that God caused David to number the people because he was angry with his people because of their sin, and in the way of their sin, he would punish them. So in our personal lives, troubles, trials, maybe rebellious children, sickness, "My times are in thy hand." And again, then, with the words of that Negro spiritual, "He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister." What comfort that is for us. Literally in Hebrew, our text reads, "In thy hand are my times." What a wonderful truth. The sovereign, highly exalted God takes note of each and every one of his children. God is compared in Scripture to a good shepherd. A good shepherd, or I was growing, or grew up on a dairy farm. A good farmer knows each of his cattle. He knows their characteristics. He knows exactly what they need, how to treat each one. God knows the character. God knows the needs. God knows the difficulties of each one of us, his saints. And he loves his sheep so much that he gave his only begotten Son for them. Do you have, beloved, that confidence? Then how beautifully we can sing, as we will in our last song, number 383, stanza 2. Listen to these words. Ere into being I was brought, thy eye did see, and in thy thought my life in all of its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began. All my past, the present, the future, in thy hand are my time. For those saints right now in isolation, those in sickness, those in pain or sorrow, troubles in the family, or looking at death. As we go through those times, we feel broken. We break down in tears, perhaps, as the day comes to a close. And maybe even like David did at times, we feel like we're forgotten. David writes, doesn't he? I said in my haste, I'm cut off from the Lord. Have you ever felt that desperate? God's forgotten me. God doesn't know what I'm going through. Look carefully. David said, I said that in my haste. But David wrote in verse 14, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. What a beautiful thing he writes there, verse 14. My God. That's who controls my times. That is the God who knows what I need. That is the God who has chosen me from eternity, who has given me to Jesus Christ. When he says, thou art my God, that's covenant relationship, isn't it? That's a covenant theme. I am a child of God. I'm his friend. While his hand might be heavy upon the wicked to destruct them, we are in the hands of our loving Father in heaven. As we read from Isaiah 41, verse 11, his hand of righteousness. Thou art my God. Before we hasten on to a conclusion, we have to notice in our confession, in thy hand are my times, this is a messianic psalm. In other words, it's a psalm about Christ. Oh, David writes it about his own life. But David speaks here as a type for the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus would suffer many trials and difficulties, suffering in his life. He was at times at the mercy of his enemies' hands as they sought to kill him or to trap him. And it is our Lord Jesus who takes verse 5 on his lips as he has finished his work on the cross, and he says, it is finished. And then he says, into thy hand I commit my spirit. But as Jesus quotes verse 5 of this psalm, because it speaks of him, he fulfills it, he adds a word, doesn't he? Boys and girls, would you know what word Jesus added from the cross in his last utterance? He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You say, what's important about that? Jesus is teaching us there something. Because he had said to his disciples earlier, I go to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. In the Old Testament church could never call God Father. That was far too intimate. But it is now in the New Testament age that you and I are able to begin our prayer and say, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, what meaning that puts. In my Father's hand are my times. My Father who loves me. My Father who possesses me. My Father who leads and guides me. My Father who preserves me. Oh, fathers and mothers, God has given you hands so that you may be a picture to your children or your grandchildren of their Father in heaven. As you pick up your little children, as you bundle those children close to your breast, as you feed those children, as you care for them, as you love them, may our hand always be to our children a picture of their Father's hand. And that's why I've said quite often, when I speak on disciplining children, careful what you do with your hand. In your wrath, do not strike out so that they're afraid of the hand of their father. Take the time to get that board of instruction so that you can cool off. And with a loving attitude, you bend them over your knee and you give them the smack they need, and then with your hand, gather them to you and forgive them and love them. The psalmist is very confident of this one truth, that God never leaves or forsakes us. Always he holds us in his hand. He doesn't leave us in our own hands, and he doesn't leave us in the hands of our enemies. Verse 8, thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. And then he says it again in verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemy. Always. You and I are in the hands of our loving Father in heaven. What everlasting comfort that is as we go through this veil of tears. Safety and final deliverance when there will be no more tears or troubles or sorrows. Or sin. Jesus spoke of this in John chapter 10. We read in verse 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So say with the psalmist this evening, in my Father's loving hand are all of my times, good and difficult. Well, that brings us, beloved, thirdly, then, to a very important part in the sermon, application. What does this mean for you and for me? In thy hand are my times. About five things. Number one, there are going to be changes in our lives. It is never static. There will be trouble and trials. That's what the psalmist has said in Psalm 90. Whether we are 70 or by reason of strength 80 years or maybe higher, nothing but affliction and trials and troubles. Those changes that we go through, those trials even, are by God's appointment. He knows what we need. I quite often used to pray the prayer, and I'm more hesitant to do it today, although I shouldn't be. Lord, give me whatever I stand in need of. You know why that's a dangerous prayer? Boys and girls, would you dare say to your parents, Dad, Mom, give me whatever I stand in need of? Oh, how many times we stand in need of a swift on our backside, huh? And now we're saying to God, give me whatever I stand in need of as a little child. Oh, at times he chastises us, doesn't he? Romans 8, verse 28, God works all things together for good to them that love him who are the called according to his purpose. God works all things. At many times, we need to be humbled, don't we? We need to be humbled. I think the Lord's doing that to us as churches. There's a Dutch phrase. That Dutch phrase goes, I'm not stubborn. We're just right. How often haven't we acted that way as churches? Like we're the only ones. We have the truth, we would hear, while they look down their long noses at other churches or denominations, or now at one another. I believe the troubles in our church right now is the Lord giving us what we need. He's humbling us. In these changing times, it's by God's appointment. Chastising and shaping us. In these changing times, then, second of all, admire your unchanging God. Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they change not. Isn't that what Jeremiah says in Lamentations chapter 3? Because thy mercies change not, we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. Our God doesn't change. His word does not change. His relationship with us doesn't change, even though at times we are rebellious and stubborn and naughty children. Admire the unchanging God. Thirdly, let's heed Solomon's warning. You say, what warning is that? It's the one that we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember we said about little kids, their life is uninterrupted with big struggles. As they know God is their God, when the troubles come into our life, don't despair. Don't doubt. Don't act like David in his haste when he said, I'm forsaken by God. No, no, no. Remember thy Creator in thy youth, so when the days become evil, we continue to cling and to trust and to look to him. Psalm 62, trust in the Lord at all times. Or again, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. Fourthly, take the comfort of God's word for all seasons and trials in our life. There's going to be troubles in our life. We're guaranteed it. There's trouble in this life because of sin. Sin that entered through Adam and Eve and continued by all of us. We're going to stand at other gravesides. There will continue to be rebellious sons or daughters or spouses. There continue to be cancers. But God's in control. And God works it all together for good. My times are in thy hand. Fifthly, hope and trust in the future. Hope and trust. The psalmist says, I have put my trust in thee, O Lord Jehovah. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. And as the psalmist goes from his own personal life, now in the last two verses, he opens it up for the congregation. He says, oh, love the Lord, ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. The Lord's going to do good to us. And as for the future, notice how he ends this psalm. Be of good courage. And he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. The Lord in his providence has brought us together for a time, hasn't he? May this be our note. Be of good courage. He will strengthen our hearts because we hope in him. Amen. Father in heaven, many times our hearts are burdened. We grieve, we weep our tears, maybe in silence, all alone, or with others who care with us. Our steps are difficult as we grow older. But Father, may our faith not grow dim, but be strengthened by thy word this evening. God in control, sovereign, my merciful and loving Father knows me, loves me, holds me, and will preserve me. He will strengthen my heart. Oh, Lord, we thank thee that we go into the new week and into the rest of this year and the rest of our lives with this wonderful confession on our lips. In thy hand are my times. Receive our thanks. Bless thy word to the hearts of thy people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.